I was just thinking, as you know, we're singing the last song there, I Surrender, I Want to Know You More. Yeah, that is the ultimate, you know, thing to do, is surrender to God's will. And, you know, yeah, just, you know, rest our life in his hands and see that he is capable and willing to conform us to his will. And he's able to do what we're unable to do. Today, I do want to just have a look at the Gospel of Mark. You know, I think it fitting that, you know, this time, this season, or festive time of the year, Christmas time, I want to try and highlight, you know, throughout the text, you know, the significance of Christmas, where, you know, we all celebrate, you know, but for us as a church, it's for us to just acknowledge, you know, that it's a time, it's not the precise day, but it's when our Saviour came, Emmanuel, that God came to be with us. And that is a common purpose that we all share while we're here this morning, yeah? So I'm going to try to be a bit animated. I said I'm going to try to get us all in that frame of mind so we can step into the story and try and hopefully get an idea and kind of imagine what it was like, what, you know, the multitude was experiencing and gained through. All right, so as I said, I'm going to try and do that, so we trust the Lord would lead me to communicate that to you well. Okay, I'm going to pray now before we start to go into God's word, all right? Heavenly Father, we'd commit this morning, this afternoon unto you, Lord, and we thank you for the glorious, wonderful opportunity that we're able to come and gather together, Lord, as your body, as your church. Father, we just pray that you would just continue to manifest and reveal yourself unto us, Lord, in ways that we may not even have seen you before or even known you. Lord, I pray that as I read your word and speak from your word, that you would give me the tongue of a ready, skilled writer. I pray, Lord, that you would lead and direct my words, that I would speak by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would speak to us collectively as a body, as well as individually, Father. You know where we're at. You know what we're going through, Lord. I pray that, you know, you would just cause us to look to you and focus upon you, Lord, and trust in you in all things. So, Father, I commit this time unto you, and I pray that you would be glorified as you are glorified already. But I pray that you would just be glorified amongst us, Lord, as we give you your rightful place upon the throne of our hearts, Lord. Have your way for us this morning, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, as I said, I did choose the book of Mark. And the text where we'll begin from today is Mark chapter 10. It's verses 46 to verse 52 I'm going to read from, all right? So it's a story about, you know, Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus. Just leading us up today, though, I just give you, you know, just a little bit of imagery just to kind of have an idea what's going on, you know. Jesus has started his ministry, and from Mark chapter 7, we will read that Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. In verse 27 in Mark 7, a Gentile woman approached Jesus, you know, seeking Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus did respond to her that it's not fitting, you know, to give to her. It's a matter of let the children of Israel be fed first, as he came to, you know, to feed the children of Israel, to reveal himself to them. But the woman challenged him in saying, you know, sorry, he said, you know, it's not right to give the food was for them to dogs, you know. But the woman challenged him with that, you know. She said, even the dogs eat the crumbs under the table. So, you know, that get a glimpse and an insight to her as a Gentile woman, that she acknowledged Jesus as Lord, you know, and, you know, she acknowledges his sovereignty, and she was persistent. And with that, in verse 29, you know, he commanded the word and her daughter was healed. So we see him as he's going about his ministry. After that, he departed from there and went through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. There he healed a man who was deaf and mute. So a man received his hearing and his tongue was loosed. In chapter 8, verse 1, we read about there was a great big multitude of people and they had continued with Jesus for 3 days. Can we imagine that? You know, imagine continuing with Jesus for 3 days. We know in his presence there is fullness of joy, but, you know, three days, you know, continuing with someone for 3 days, I can't, I'm trying to get a glimpse of that, but there's got to be so much joy in that, really, to sit down with a multitude, to listen to Jesus and speak, to listen to him teach, to witness people being healed of their infirmities, their diseases and many of things, you know, and with that, you know, Jesus shows his compassion for the people that he took 7 loaves and a few fish and, you know, about 4,000 people ate. So, you know, not only does the Lord feed them spiritually, but he also feeds them physically. And from there, you know, he continues his ministry, taking a boat over the Sea of Galilee from one point to another. And then throughout the rest of the chapter, really, from there, for I've said chapter 7 to chapter 10 is where we're going to start, you know. He continues teaching, preaching, healing, and even predicting his death and his resurrection. So, as I said, hopefully, you know, when we read this now, hopefully we can try and get a glimpse and we can try and understand what Mark is trying to communicate. Mark is portraying Jesus as the servant king. So Jesus as Lord, as King, but at the same time, you know, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. So I think you'll see a lot of that within the book of Mark as you will read it. And I'm going to read now from verse 46, if we just, you just follow me, right? And verse 46, Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni. Rabboni, you know, in Jewish, you know, that could be, you know, it's a title. It can be my teacher or my master. Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus by the road. Amen. Right. Okay, so, you know, I'm going to go back to verse 46, right? As we see, you know, they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So likewise, again, I just want to have a little look and vision. We can imagine a great multitude, not just a multitude, it's a great multitude. I'm not sure the numbers, but that's, you know, that's a lot of people, great multitude, you know, followed Jesus and his disciples. So, you know, it's clear, I would say, you know, as we read through the book of Mark, that Jesus' fame went before him, you know, his reputation went before him. The things that he had done, the things that he was doing, that went before him. And people heard about those things, you know, therefore people gathered, people came to see what Jesus was about, to hear what was going on, to witness events that they'd heard about. We know the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. And I'm imagining now this multitude was a mixture of people, just like in this room. There's a mixture of people in this room. I'm going to kind of look at some of the characters and the people within this multitude, which, as I said, will reflect and represent us likewise. He was followed by the sick and their carers seeking to be healed. We know in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, right? We will read about the woman with the flow of blood for 12 years, you know. She only just wanted to touch the hem of his garment, you know. So she probably heard about the good things Jesus was doing, and rightfully so, she wanted her opportunity to be healed. We also read in Luke chapter 5, 19, some men let their paralyzed friend through a housetop roof so that he could be set before Jesus and be healed. So we can see his carers. I presume his carers. If he was a paralyzed person, he probably had people caring for him. So we can see carers pursuing and following Jesus as well for those who they're looking after. And that paralyzed man was healed. We know in Matthew chapter 14, verse 35, it says, men sent out into all the surrounding regions. So Bromley, Lewisham, Borough, you know, Lambeth, all the surrounding region and everything. Men sent out by word of mouth, proclaiming, saying things and everything, right? And brought to Jesus all who were sick. And, you know, those who came to him, verse 36 of Matthew, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched his garment were made perfect. I can hear one or two of us in here coughing, as myself. I've been coughing, and, you know, I've tried various things. Someone's been very helpful, you know, and my cough is not as bad as it used to be, as it was, like, in the last 2 weeks and so forth. But, you know, I probably, even, you know, what I was experiencing probably a week ago, my cough was really problematic in terms of I wasn't really getting much sleep. So I may have fitted into this crowd as someone, as I'm looking for Jesus to heal me. If I heard about him healing the sick, I would have hopefully had the faith to know if I just touch his garment, it's gone, because that's exactly what was happening, right? So that's one group, right? You've also got another group as well, right? John chapter 6, verse 26, right? It tells you, some followed him because they ate food and were filled when he provided for them. So I believe that's when he fed the 4,000, you know, after he went, they followed him, they went back there, but he perceived they weren't really coming for him to hear his word. They wanted food. So you see, that's another motive again. And, you know, within the congregation of body, there is motives. You know, the Lord knows those who are his. But I'm just identifying a multitude of people, and I'm identifying, I'm examining myself to see where I fit. All right. So that's a group as well, right? We also know many followed him because they believed in him. That's what I believe we're in here doing. John chapter 10, verse 41 to 42 tells you about those who believed in him. So therefore they follow him because they believed in him, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. His disciples followed him designed to learn more, as we desire to learn more about our Lord, right? So you'll see that in John 16, 19. You also had the religious leaders who were watching him and looking for opportunities to find fault or a charge against him. You find that in Mark 3, 2 and Matthew 22, 15. And there was some who wanted to take him by force to make him king, in John 16, 15. So, you know, some saw him, they believed, yeah, this is the coming Messiah. But the way they believed that he was meant to lead them, it's a matter of they thought, we want to take him by force. We've seen the works that he's done and the miracles that he's done. If we take him and put him there, you know, imagine if he's set up as king and we can get behind him, you know, we can just, you know, the Roman system, we can have dominion. So that was some of their mindset, but, you know, he withdrew from them because the motives were wrong, all right? And some probably heard him speak and found themselves blessed by his teachings and his truth. And of course, those who may have just been curious and prompted to follow him and examine the wonderful things they heard and they saw. So, you know, they were there, but probably, you know, you hear the words of Jesus, you know, their life, you know, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. People would have heard all of these things. But again, it's what did they do? Did they recognize him for who he was and they became his disciple. So within that great multitude, as I said again, you know, we can probably picture ourselves within that multitude. Where do we stand when Jesus is proclaiming who he is and doing all the things that he's doing? So within that now, we can imagine they're following him. He's coming out of Jericho and he's walking. You know, they're following Jesus, this man, you know, doing wonderful things. You're not quite sure what's going to happen next, you know. He might be ready to say, sit down and make you all a meal. Or, you know, he's going to do some miraculous things. But, you know, I can imagine it's pretty exciting. And, you know, when you do follow the Lord and you seek to do his will, it is exciting. It really is. You're not quite sure what he's going to do, but we know he's going to do good things. We know that he's going to bless people. We know that he's going to change lives. We know that people are going to have hope. And ultimately, people's going to come to receive salvation in him. So we have blind Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside. Wherever we travel, I'm sure we all witness and see people, maybe not blind, but people sitting by the roadside, and we see them begging and asking for things. And, you know, not really a pleasant sight, but at the same time, we don't know what circumstances brought the people there. But God is concerned about all of that, right? So, you know, we're going to 47 and we see, right? And, you know, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was probably taught, right, about the Torah, you know, the first five books of the Old Testament, the prophets and their writings when he was growing up. You know, I'm not sure how that would have been, but I would have expected, hopefully, around that time, he would have been taught about these things. So he would have heard about the coming Messiah, the son of David, right? Possibly his father, Timaeus, instructed him in his learning. And, you know, Proverbs 31, verse 1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. So, you know, whether a son or a woman or a girl, you know, but you heed the instructions of a father. And we know ultimately now the Lord God is our father. So, you know, we'll heed his instructions within his word. So, you know, he went out. And in any case, when he heard it was Jesus, he acknowledged. So when Bartimaeus heard it was Jesus, he acknowledged him as the son of David. So, you know, we know that Bartimaeus, throughout his life somewhere, he was taught about the coming Messiah. And he connected and acknowledged that, you know, it would be the son of David, of the line of David, the one who he would have been taught about throughout his time growing up. Luke 8:18 again, you know, I just want to bring God's word together. It says, therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. And Bartimaeus, you know, shows he took heed to what he heard in the past and now in the present. So he took heed, he was taught, he took heed what he heard in the past and in the present. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, you know, he took heed, he acknowledged, he made a connection. And, you know, with that, he prompted to call out and shout out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. There's a probability as well. The probability as well is, you know, I would have probably imagined that, you know, with the reputation of Jesus going out around that region, that there's a possibility, I don't know, it doesn't say here, but Bartimaeus may have heard reports about the works of Jesus of Nazareth, what he's been doing, that people had received his sights. So he may have heard about others receiving their sights. He may have heard about others being healed. And you can imagine him sitting down there, a blind man, hearing these stories. You know, he's blind. So visually, that's not going to be his strength. His strength is going to be his ears, right? His strength is going to be, he needs to perceive and discern what he's hearing, what is truth, what is factual from what is not factual, yeah? He needs to hear that. Then, you know, if he heard the things that Jesus done, that would be a great excitement for him to only hope, if possibly I could have my sight back. Yeah, that would have been a great hope for him So the opportunity arise. But for him saying the son of David, that's clear. He knew and had the link and connection who Jesus was. So with that, he shouts out and he called out to Jesus. Now, clearly, God clearly speaks to his people. He spoke to the children of Israel, you know, he spoke through the Torah, you know, again, the five books of the Old Testament. Likewise, he spoke through the prophets through various times. He sent them, you know, and their writings and also the scrolls. And he speaks to the church now through the Bible primarily, as well he can speak to us through various ways, through one another, however he chooses. But primarily, we have his word, yeah? So we have God's word that God clearly does speak to us, right? The key to hearing, right? This is me. The key to hearing is, you know, to hear and listen, you know, because we hear many things, all right? As I said again, take heed how you hear, for whoever has more will be given, you know? And, you know, it's important. We hear many things. You hear things in the workplace, you hear things on TV, you hear things on music, you hear things with whichever social group you hang out with. And what you hear can be detrimental to you. It really can affect you. It really can affect what you believe in. Yeah, so it's really important what you hear. But likewise, as I said, we're looking at God's word here, you know, and it's important to hear God's word and hear the truth, you know, as we know faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's important to hear God's word and really hear God's word and take heed of God's word, knowing that God's word is truth, all right? So the key, I say, is to hear. To hear is to listen, to give or pay attention to what is being said, to take heed of what is being communicated to you. Right, and I'm gonna look at a little process, you know what I mean, of hearing what that might look like. Okay, it's me again saying what it might look like, right? So again, now communications of God's word, right? You might have that where a speaker, a pastor, someone might teach God's word, you know. You attend church on Sunday, so you regularly usually hear God's word being preached, being ministered on a Sunday if you're a regular attender. You can hear God's word through reading the Bible, so you read it, you know, hopefully you find a quiet time and take God serious and know that he's willing to speak to you from his word, so you sit and be willing to listen to what God would like to say to you. All right, you can hear God's word many different ways, you know, sermons online. But, you know, the key is listening when God communicates through his word. All right, listen. And when you hear God's word, it is a matter of hearing it, listening and giving and paying attention to what is being said. Don't take it lightly. You know, that's for me. You know, don't just skim over it. You know, God does speak through his word. Yeah. It does speak. Then the next stage, I would say, is comprehension. It's understanding, perceiving what is said and what it means. So when God communicates his word or we hear his word, it's really understanding and perceiving what does it mean? What is God saying? What does it say? How does it relate to me? Yeah? And hopefully, you know, we do take heed of what is being said and what it means and how it relates to us. And with that, we have confidence in God's word. And what does that confidence look like? That is trusting in what God says and applying it to one's life by walking in it. All right? I just want to read something from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, right? So, as in a picture of confidence in God's word and trusting in God's word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, right, as Paul speaking to the Thessalonian church, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So we see God's word is spiritual. You know, when you esteem God's word and you know, you obey God's word and take heed of God's word, his word is able to work in you if you believe in it. All right? So it's not something to take lightly. And that's, I think, we're seeing a picture with that with Bartimaeus. As I said now, right, confidence in God's word is trusting in it, you know, applying it to your life and walking in it. And then finally, four, I would say change. You know, I think it should bring transformation, right? And we can see being transformed by God's words. We know that in Romans 12, 2, yeah, don't be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed, all right? And, you know, I think we're going to get a picture, hopefully, and we're going to see that transformation within Bartimaeus as he believed in God's word and he took God's word on board and believed in God's word. All right? So, yeah, so he went there. So, as we see, he's called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He's crying out to him. Then look, verse 38, we're going to see the crowd, right? Then many warned him to be quiet. So look at that picture. Many warned him to be quiet. As I said, likewise, imagine we're in that group, that congregation, sorry, that multitude. We've been with Jesus, traveling with him. We've witnessed Jesus healing people. People freely shoving and pushing, right, just to touch the hem of his gown. We've probably been in somewhere and someone lowered down a man through the roof so he could be in the midst of Jesus so he gets his healing. And a crowd, you know, we've known all these things. We're walking and then a blind man shouts out for Jesus and a crowd says, be quiet. Be quiet. Denying him, you know, he wants to have a transformation. He wants his sight. He wants some healing. But the crowd tells him to be quiet. God help us. Hopefully that's, you know, hopefully we're not like that, you know, in terms of, we know our Lord. We know what the Lord has come to do. As I said, he come to seek that which is lost and save them. And, you know, he was clearly about there in his ministry for a period of 3 years. He was doing good. And he was revealing himself to who he came to save. And the crowd told him to be quiet. But with that, he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. I wonder, sometimes in our lives, we seek the Lord. There's things we're seeking the Lord for. There may be things that we're persistently praying and calling on the name of the Lord. I wonder, sometimes, you know, I do believe the enemy will try to distract you, discourage you, and try and tell you, that's enough, be quiet. You know, you've prayed enough. You know what I mean? You've been pursuing, it's not going to happen. Be quiet now, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a personal thing where, you know, you need to work that out with the Lord. But I'm just saying clearly here now, right, we can see the physical aspect, the crowd saying be quiet. We know there's a spiritual aspect as well. You know, we know there's an adversary. And likewise, he more so will say, don't worry, man. You've been praying. It ain't going to happen. Be quiet. Yeah, so, you know. But Bartimaeus more so. He cried out all the more. You know, they told him to be quiet. So all the more, it's like, son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out all the more. So he cried out, but he cried out all the more. He wants this. He wants this. So, you know, we know through what we heard and what we see, you know, God is a good God. Amen. You know, he does want to, you know, supply our needs according to his riches. How he's going to do that, he'll do it his way according to his will. But at the same time, you know, can't please him without faith, you know, so hopefully you're trusting him, you pursue him, and hopefully within this picture we're seeing Bartimaeus, he's not going to be quieted, he's not going to accept what a crowd is saying, be quiet, you know, you're telling me be quiet, no, I want an encounter with Jesus, yeah, he wants that encounter with Jesus, all right, so he cried out all the more, and the beautiful, you know, and with that, I mean, again, let's say they considered, you know, the children of Israel, you know, around that time, they considered blind people, you know, they considered some of the blind, right? Or their parents may have been sinners. We know that in John chapter 9, verse 23, you know, they said, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, you know, they see the blind person. They said, who sinned, this person or his parents? So automatically they considered, you know, who sinned. That's not always the case, you know. You see somebody in hardship or someone struggling, you know. It's not always the case, you know. The fact is we all live in a fallen world, you know, and good behaviour is not always rewarded as we expect. So, you know, when you do good, you don't always get your reward. Yeah, that's factual, you know. But be encouraged, you know, because the Lord sees it all, you know, everything that you do. And likewise, bad behaviour is not always punished. That's why we can see a lot of rampant things happening with people doing bad and being rebellious out there, you know. If it was this, if it was like you touch fire, you get burnt, I'm sure a lot of them would learn and wake up now. But, you know, it's not like that at this present time, right? So, you know, therefore, innocent people sometimes suffer and can find themselves in a needy situation, yeah? But it seems like Bartimaeus had challenging times begging on the road. And even before that, you know, God had set up an order, a system with the children of Israel where in Leviticus 25:35-38, you know, we'll see what God has to say about the poor, you know. I mean, God originally set up a system where the children of Israel should look out for one another within their nation, in their community, you know. It's not about being selfish with God, you know, it's being selfless. It's about the corporate, it's about the body, you know, and we will get a glimpse of that in the book of Acts, where people took their possessions, they sold it for the collective, for the body. Just like, you know, back in the days of the children of Israel, you know, when they harvest and glean their crop, leave something there for the poor man to have something to eat. You know, Proverbs will tell you, you know, when you give to the poor, it's kind of like giving to the Lord, because he sees that, and you know what I mean? Yeah, he cares about these people. I know in our society, the governments don't, you know, they're always going to tap you and me up for money. We see billionaires, wealthy people, and can imagine, you know, getting a nice salary like a footballer or someone else, and good for them. That's their job, that's what it pays. But, you know, probably, you know, donate couple of thousands or million, you know, you could really make a big difference in this world. But you will probably see on the TV people talking to people like you and me to give £3 or something, you know, and you know, as you are led though, you know, just know that the Lord really cares about the poor, and we represent him still anyway. So yes, he leads still, and especially at this time of the year as well, Christmas time, you know, be aware when we're out there, if we see them, you know. I know some of them might be out there a bit more harder, really doing their hustle, but at the same time, we don't know their situation. We don't really know what's going on, right? And the Lord's word is clear still, all right? You know, if someone asks for you, you give. If they take away from you, don't ask back. So make sure you've got your things close to you so no one take it, right? You know? But that's God's word still, right? And we, you know, we wanna be people who is doers of his word, all right? Yeah? So we can see God is a collective. God is a God, you know, where it's about the body, it's about the people. It's not selfish, you know. It's not individualism, you know. He wants us to be a people that, you know, it shows his kingdom, you know, is there. Yeah, so yeah, so they're doing that. So praise God. And yeah, praise God. Yeah, so, you know, as Bartimaeus did, when he calls to God, yeah, he called out, he really does shout out. You know, he's not going to be stopped. So 49, anyway. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man. So with all the noise going on, Jesus stood still and heard the cry of faith and was ready to meet him. You know, can only but imagine again with a great multitude of people around the noise. I don't think everybody was silent. I can imagine there was quite a bit of noise. But we see a picture of our Lord. A wonderful picture, really, you know. So whatever we go through, whatever we experience, the Lord hears your prayer. Yeah? He can hear the cry of faith. Jeremiah tells you, if you seek me with all of your heart, I'll be found by you. So that's with all of your heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks out of the abundance of your heart. And I believe that was Bartimaeus. He was speaking out of the abundance of his heart. So, you know, no matter what is going on, as we can clearly see here, Bartimaeus, he's probably somebody you just, you know, you pass by. As I said, we see it. We see it on the streets of London or on the streets outside of London. You can see people on the wayside. You can just pass them by. They're just on the corner there, you know, with a cup, not even opening their mouth. So I'm just referring, blind Bartimaeus, you know what I mean? How much of the people probably didn't even really want to acknowledge him, that they told him to be quiet. But Jesus, wonderful Jesus, our Saviour, who came to seek that is lost. Wonderful Jesus. So Jesus stood still. He's given his attention now. Yeah? He stopped for blind Bartimaeus. It shows that he cares for that one sheep. He cares for that one sheep wherever you are. Jesus cares. He wants to bring you into the fold. He cares about that one person. Then they, you know, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. So call him. I can hear him. Call him. Look at the change of the crowd now, right? Then they called the man saying, be of good cheer. So it's like, you know, they're on Jesus' side now. All nice. Be of good cheer. You know, one instant it's like, you know, one instant it's like, be quiet. You know what I mean? They're telling him to be quiet. Next instant now, be of good cheer, because they can see that's God's heart. So their intention changed now. Be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. And what does Bartimaeus do? He throws off his garment and he raises, you know, and his garment, throwing it off. Probably as a blind man, you're going to hold on to it because, like, you don't know where to find it afterwards. But, you know, he threw it off, right? So he had expectations, and rightfully so, because this was the son of David, the one who he heard about, you know. Yes. Yeah, he done that. And so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? See, Jesus can be pacific. The Lord can be pacific. And I think we see that as well in Philippians, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer, supplications, petition and thanksgiving with definite requests. Your definite requests. It's definite requests. Yeah, definite requests. So be pacific. Yeah, so that's what he's saying. Be pacific. I know you're praying about things and that, but let's be pacific. All right, we see that here. What do you want me to do for you? Be pacific. Yeah, you know, it's good to be clear. It's good to have clarity. It's good to know exactly what do you want. What are you expecting? Even more so, you know, I asked the Lord specifically. The Lord done this, man. Glory to the Lord, as we're going to see follow on. So, you know, it's good to be specific. Yeah, he's been there, right? The blind man, Bartimaeus, said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. So that's clear. He'd like to receive his sight. And it was the same with us, you know. We was all blind. Yeah, we was blind. You know, little did we know when we called upon the name of the Lord, we would receive our sight. our eyes would be open. There's a lot of people whose eyes are open, but they're still blind, according to Scripture. Yeah, they're still spiritually blind, walking around in darkness. But here, blind Bartimaeus acknowledged the Saviour, the servant King, who didn't come to be served, but to serve. Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So, not only did he receive his sight, but he also received his salvation because he believed in the name of the Lord. And that's something that, you know, we celebrate this festive season, this coming Christmas time. We celebrate our Lord, our Saviour, who came not to be served, but to serve. And as Bartimaeus received his sight, he followed Jesus on the road. And we'll see that countless times throughout Scripture, when people receive their healings, when people receive miracles, when people's lives are transformed, when people are saved, they follow Jesus because their eyes are open. They know he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. They know in him they can have abundant life. And that's the same for us. But following Jesus, we can see what that looks like. Jesus was all about. He was doing good. He was connecting with people. He was meeting people's needs. Yeah? He was meeting people's needs. Jesus was out there. He was out there in a dying world, letting people know that there's hope. Letting people know, as there's a way that seemed right to man, but the end leads to death. But he was showing them the road to eternal life. And for us, we have a picture of what it looks like following Jesus. We come church Sundays, cool. Probably that's the simplest and easiest one. Just roll out Sunday, come church, simple, easiest one. But following Jesus is a lifestyle, you know. In that 3 years when he was out there ministry, he done so much things from region to region, you know, and it's about people. We see him feeding people. There's a lot of hungry people throughout this land. We see him meeting people's need. We see him preaching to people. We see him teaching people. We see him loving people, having compassion on people. And as his people, as his church, his body, that's what we're called to do. However the Lord leads you. And we all encourage one another as a body, as we see one another, as we see the body doing the will of the Lord. That encourages us. Doesn't it encourage you? Yes. It encourages me, because you can see the Lord, you know, in the physical manifestation of the body as the individual. The Bible says Christ dwells in your heart by faith. So let's hopefully see the outworking of him working within our lives, leading us to do, to continue the ministry of what he was doing. That's his legacy, you know. His legacy goes on, you know. But, yes, that's what we desire. So within that, you know, within that chapter, what we just read about blind Bartimaeus, yes, I hope that, you know, we would be encouraged to know that Jesus is continuing on his throne. And again, clearly, hopefully through us, we remember he came to seek and save that which was lost. So, again, as his body, as believers, hopefully, God willing, we will have the opportunity somewhere throughout this festive season to point people to Jesus, that they would know Jesus came to seek a person such as them, and he's come to do it through us because he dwells within us. So let's hopefully be mindful about this time of year. Emmanuel, God is with us. He's with us right now. And as the multitude, as we follow him, God willing, we're the followers who are his disciples, who learn from him. Yeah, and we see his love for his church. So, yeah, we just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that, you know, he set us a good example. Yeah, thank you that, you know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And, you know, I'm going to close up soon and pray. But if there is anybody in here today, you know, there's anything that anybody may want support or encouragement with, or anything that anybody would love God to meet them and touch them where they're at, or give them direction, heal them, whatever, as we just read in the scripture, God is able. Amen. I hope before they leave here today, they would just draw alongside their brother or sister or myself or anybody within here, because we're the body, we profess Christ Jesus. I pray that as we see blind Bartimaeus, he acknowledged who Jesus was and he called out to him, he screamed out unto him. I pray that, you know, this would encourage you to know that likewise, just call out to the Lord and allow his will to be done in your life, however he chooses to do that. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you have come and you did come to seek and save that which was lost. Thank you that we can proclaim that we were lost, but now we are saved. Thank you that you're continually working within us both to do your will and your good pleasure. And Lord, which is hearts, Father, that at this time of year, help us to be mindful, Lord. Help us to remember that as your followers, we're called to love, Father. First, to love you first with all of our heart, mind, soul, and our strength. And secondly, our neighbours as we love ourselves. But Father, I pray that we would truly, Lord, be doers of your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that our lives would be a living appeasal, a living testimony unto you. I pray it will be evident unto a dying world. So Lord, again, if there's anyone in here, Lord, I pray that they would just reach out to you, just call upon you, just, you know, trust in you, Lord, knowing that you are the God who meets us at our points of need, however you choose to do that. But help us to focus upon you. Help us to take heed of your word. Help us to believe in your word, Lord. And help us ultimately, Lord, to live a lifestyle that glorifies you and enjoy you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.